There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. And phone number, same as it's been for 17 years. But if you're new around here, let's write this one down, put it in your contact list. You could use it for a call or a text. Same number, 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106. Also, with the FM Talk 106.5 app, you'll see that microphone icon there on the whatever the front page of the thing. If you press that, it lets you record a message that emails it to the show, and I can play it back here on the air. So check that out. All right, I mentioned he'd be joining us here in the 1 o'clock hour. It's the 1 o'clock hour. Look up, and Doug Harwell, running for State Senate District 34, in studio. Good to see you.
How you doing, Sean? Appreciate you having me here today.
Yeah, good to have you in here as well. And a lot to talk about. You and I have talked in the past about your time on the school board.
Yes, sir.
And so, you know, let's talk about that, because I know, you know, you're talking about running as an outsider, a businessman, but you do have a little bit of insight into government. I mean, almost a decade with school board?
Yes, sir. How long?
Was it a decade? Were you there 10 years?
12 years.
12 years. So over a decade. 12
yes,
years. So, I mean, so it's not, you know, that you were in this position, but you did, I mean, you do have some familiarity with government.
Yes, sir.
Talk about that.
And well, you know, I tell everybody on being on the school board, I learned exactly what comes out of Montgomery, how it affects our teachers and our classrooms and our students. You know, our teachers today, they don't need any more rules or regulations. What they need is a safe classroom. They need to have support. They need to have respect. And I say that our classrooms are a place for education, not woke politics or social justice movements. We need to be teaching those kids education.
Right.
And our students, you know, our students are measured mostly just by a test score, Sean. And I think they deserve more than that. They deserve to have a career path they leave in our schools. And our school systems should be focused on preparing our greatest resource, which is our students, to be college and career ready, and promoting the family values that made our nation great. That's my stance on what we should be doing as a school system.
Yeah, one of the things I've talked about, everybody from people in the school system to Bradley Byrne with the chamber and everything between, I said, we need to, not with young kids, but when you're a teenager, and we're talking about getting kids in the workforce here, just have somebody come in and tell them how much money they're going to make. Like, have somebody from one of these businesses here, you know, come in and say, listen, y'all do this, you go through the course here when you graduate, and you're going to be making 60. You do right for a few years, you could be making six figures. And even have somebody come in and go, by the way, here's a picture of the boat I bought. Here's my new offshore boat, or here's the vacation. Don't even talk about inspiration, because, you know, you're a mush brain at 17. Say, hey, y'all like to make some money?
Yep.
You like to own your own house? You like to have a boat? Like to have a nice truck? Sell it that way almost.
You know, Sean, let's just be completely honest. I have three boys, three completely different paths. Even myself, you know, I graduated from high school. I always say, my mom said, "Hey, you got to go to college to get a college degree." You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And so I tried that for 2.5 years, and it just didn't work out for me. My dad had started a business. We talked about that before. I went to work with him and just wanted to work and make a living. And so I did that. Eventually, ended up going into the water industry. Got to a point there. Worked my way up to supervisor one, and I was going to be that. You know, that'd be my career job. And got to a place where I didn't get promoted when I felt like I should have. And the degree was my next step. So I went back to school, got my degree while working full time, and which has helped me later on. So I've been the guy that's did both of those things.
You saw both paths.
I saw both sides, and I have a son that's off of medical school, and Sean, he will graduate Saturday.
Congratulations.
And so we're all getting a raise when he graduates, yeah. But that's proud of him. Him and my daughter-in-law both are going to be doctors, but I have my other two boys who are working with me in my business, and he did call me one time, Sean. He really did. He said, Dad, he said, you know, I've been going to school for a long time. It's costing a lot of money. He said, my friends have went to a career tech center, mm-hmm. got some training, and said they're making really good money, and they didn't have to do all the schooling. I said, son, we got to do what's called to do, number one. I know he is, but you're exactly right. We need to be promoting
that. That's the thing. Yeah, I would hope in the school. I mean, obviously, I want the kids that want to go to college and do this. I want them to go. But to tell other kids, like, okay, well, let's get frank here. Who wants to be able to, you know, have this kind of lifestyle? You can make this kind of money. Y'all go. The jobs are sitting there waiting. Y'all go take them. Make some cash.
Yeah, we talked before with in my business, which is general contracting, road building, asphalt work, machine mm-hmm. operating. There's still some space there for some improvement for us, getting these kids ready for that career. But Mobile County Public Schools and Baldwin County, they build these career tech centers. Mobile's mm-hmm. going to get one soon. That's
yeah,
what
the
they
Baldwin
tell.
County one's something.
Yeah,
man.
And it's just, you know, it's something that's important. I tell you, my thing is this. Every child graduating from school in Mobile County should have a career path. And we're not talking about a job. We're mm-hmm. talking a career path. We need to make sure they understand that whatever that is, we want to make sure we help you get there, get your training. Because it's so important for kids to have a career path, not just a job. When we're getting up this, hey, you just need a job.
Yeah.
We quit saying that. No, you need a career path. Mm-hmm. We need to help you get there. And I like to promote Mobile County Public Schools because mm-hmm. they have school choice and some areas that you can go to whatever school you want to. But it's just something that's real dear to me that makes sure that every child can read and comprehend, they can be successful.
Yep.
If you can read and comprehend, you can be successful in anything you do. And to make sure when they leave our school system, whether it be charter school, public school, private school, parochial school, whatever you're going to do, it's our responsibility to make sure those kids have an opportunity for a career path.
100%.
And I'm gonna work hard for that.
Well, let's talk about this, too. So you mentioned your time in business here. And I just wanted to talk a little bit about school system, saying that you had some look at government. But you're coming in as a businessman. If elected, you're talking about bringing that businessman's mentality to the district. How is that different than government? Like, how do you balance that? I mean, because in a business, you can make decisions and do things singularly, where if you're elected in the Senate, you got to get some other people to agree with you, right?
Yeah. That is a very good question, Sean. But I think when you're in your business, I know when you're in my business, I realize one thing, that every decision that I make not only affects me and my family, but it affects my employees and our family as well. Mm-hmm. You have to take that same mentality to the Senate, knowing that every decision I make is going to affect somebody. And as a business owner, you go see how that looks when you affect people. I know this is the Senate, the people are looking for people to have that business mentality. Our state funding is going to be an issue. We got you name it. We pay too much in taxes, in my opinion. We need better health care. What we need to do about health care. And I say this, and I don't want to say this, but kind of go back to school system. One of the things when me and you was growing up, we wanted to have a career path. And I think we saw that if we did the public, you know, work for the water companies, work for the state, we work for the school system, that was a public servant and it was a good job, it would have career retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you this, and it's something I believe in. We got to invest in our past to make our future brighter. And what that means is we got to go back to those teachers, those people that's protected this country, protects us daily here in Mobile County, the state of Alabama. We got to take care of those people. Because our students are looking at that and saying, hey, they ain't had a cost of living in a long time. You know, somebody wanting to be a teacher, they look into that. We got to make sure we keep.
You mean take care of them? In other words, raise what they're making, more money.
Well, not just making money now, but our school teachers and those people that are having a tough time living on cost of living. Mm-hmm. We got to look into that. Those people that protected us, Sean's important. I will always stand up for those men and women that protect us because we should be taking care of them later on in life.
If we're going to spend more money to do that, which I think is a noble idea, but you're talking about we pay too much in taxes, where are we cutting? Where's money coming from?
you know, I haven't got to look at every number up there, but I do say this. I think when we look at our taxes, we look at that. I know we need to cut our taxes to help our business and live. Maybe there needs to be some reform. I would love to go up there, and I want to go up there and see what money's being spent, how it's being spent, and look at it. Same thing you do in your business. See what you can cut. See how you can streamline. See how you can make it better. I think that's the mentality you take. And then, of course, you always want to look for other revenue sources, but you just – the main thing is right now, I think, is to look what we're spending, how we're spending, and look at some reform and find that. Find those treasure chests they got in Montgomery. Mm-hmm. We've heard about it. I don't know what they are exactly, but I feel like, though, that if you invest in those people in the past, you're going to get the teachers, you're going to get the police officers, you're going to get the people in the military, you're going to get those people to serve and protect us. Because if we don't have protection, we don't have a job.
Right.
If we don't have protection, people are not going to live in Mobile County. And I'm endorsed by a sheriff, and he knows how much I support him and his police officers and the firefighters and all those and first responders, because Mobile has to be safe for us to bring business here in Mobile so that me and you have a job.
Yeah, and let's talk about that in the business climate. Come in. So talked about taxes, talked about security. Anything else that you think is lacking here for Mobile County, or 34 specifically, to blossom more for business?
Well, I haven't been in those conversations, but I believe Mobile, the delegation we have here, has got to come together. And we got to go promote our state docks. We got the we dredged it. It's ready. It's waiting for us. And, of course, I'm going to throw a pitch in there. I got endorsed by our former mayor. But he's laid the groundwork for us to be great in Mobile. You know, we have
an airport. So what are we missing? We've got that base. I agree. I call it the Port of Mobile because I'm a homer, but they call it Alabama's port and all that stuff. I have them come in and tell me it affects all 67 counties in the state. So they don't hear that on Goat Hill?
I don't know. I want to be in those conversations. I think it's like this, Sean. If you want somebody, if you find this, I think this is a true statement. If you have something that somebody wants, then they want it. We got to go promote Mobile County and our state docks and our things that we got here, our great rail system, our great air, our great everything we have to promote economic development and make people jealous of it.
Okay, I like that.
We're going to go speak about how great Mobile can be and how it can be the heartbeat of the state of Alabama. And I think the business perspective, I go back to school board. I did that to school board. I took that business mentality and sat down with educators. And look, we did. We've done some really great things. You didn't hear us on the news. You didn't hear anything. We bought schools. We built schools. We bought buses. We got people raises. We did all the things to make Mobile County Public School better. I think I have the ability to help do that in the state of Alabama.
Coming right back, more with Doug Harwell.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 123 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Right back to our discussion with Doug Harwell, Senate District 34 candidate, May 19th primary. Talk about that. By the way, too, speaking of which, and just not to interrupt this discussion, but I am, because got this from Secretary of State Wes Allen last night. He sent me this, texted me. It said, May 19th primary election to proceed as planned. Now, of course, what that means with them in special session, I don't know. But Secretary of State says, all things go, let your people know. So I'm letting y'all know, proceed as planned. So I know y'all are paying attention to that.
No, it's not, you know, yeah, no, we're paying attention. But I don't know if it ever would affect our primary.
No, it's not going to change y'all. But I mean, people are now going, are we going to vote? Yes, we are going to vote. You are going May 19th to vote.
That's right. So May 19th, Doug Harwell, Senate District 34.
Okay, and Wes Allen told me. Tell them, so I've told y'all. So Secretary of State Wes Allen, if you're listening up in Montgomery, I told them.
Yeah.
We're voting on May 19th.
And I will let him know. He's a good guy.
Yeah. He made sure last night, Sean, tell him. I'm like, okay, I'm going to tell him. Good. Yeah. We talked about business for a second. I want to talk about this one. It's kind of a thing I've discussed over time. How do you attract business in? Like in the big business, the whales and all that, without giving away the store? Let's talk about a business-minded thing. Because sometimes I see... It's like we can't say no. I mean, you know, in any kind of deal, you have to have a point where you go, sorry, I'm not interested. If you're closing a multinational company or you're buying a 10-speed bike, there's a certain point in the negotiation you say, well, I appreciate it. We can't do that.
But no.
Yeah, and I wonder if we say no ever, you know, when we go out with incentives. I mean, where's the line? How many incentives do you give before you're starting to kind of lose?
Yeah.
Because I'd like those incentives here.
I'm sitting here thinking about that. I never really thought about that question because, you know, as a contractor, we just say this is what you're going to bid on. You go bid on. It's going to be a sealed bid. You go if you're the low price, you get it.
Yes.
If you don't, somebody else is going to get it.
That's right.
And so,
it is everywhere.
I do understand attracting business. You know, you attract businesses. I think the problem is when we do it for so long. And then we forget about our past. We forget about those business owners here in Mobile that's been working their rear ends off, their families started a business, and then all of a sudden you want to just bring somebody in, give them all these things, and you're going like, hold on a second.
And they'll come out, and, you know, the folks come out at the ribbon cutting and say, this company's bringing in so many jobs, and there are legions of businesses in Mobile and Baldwin County go, and so did we.
Yeah.
And we didn't have a big rah-rah. And you have to be competitive, I know that, but I just wonder if there's a – in your mind, like with the business aspect here, where you go, thank you, but we can't do that. Yeah. If you got to go to South Carolina to get that deal, then you're going to South Carolina.
Yeah, and I don't know. I wish there was a math or something. I'd say, well, you know, put this number, this comes out.
No, right.
I think at that particular time, I think as we was talking, what's the influence of the people in leadership? And I think we got to get back to making good business decisions, not because of who you know. But is it a good business decision? And sometimes, and I believe this, and I'm going to say this very openly, I believe in people have the opportunity to vote. I believe the people have the opportunity to say yes. So you got to go talk to people that's down here and the people around you, those other business owners. You know,
they don't want to hear from us on that.
Yeah. Yeah. But look, there are some businesses that come in and can bring thousands and thousands of jobs. Mm-hmm. And the question is, where are they going to live, what they're going to do, and how they're going to – I mean, people want to know all that. Because you go out and attract those businesses in. They got to have a place to live. They got to have a place to go to school. They got to have a lot of things that that people here in Mobile and Baldwin County worked hard to have. And I think they need to have input. I think we're voting on people that's going to take the best interest of them at Montgomery or even local. I think you have to do that. I mean, there's just no doubt about that.
You talked about public safety earlier too, so let's kind of drill down here. What do you think? What were your top priorities like for the state for public safety? Governor Ivey had said, you know, it's the year of public safety. I mean, from you, Doug Harwell, what would we do here? What could we do better?
Another great question. I think, and I always, of course, I look at our schools to start with. You know, with the help of Paul, putting those sheriffs in our school, with the Mobile County working together, we see the difference. And when you look at that, you can see the difference if you apply that same mythology around through the city, through the county, and through the state. I mean, we need more police officers. We need more firefighters. We need more first responders. And again, Sean, you got to make that look attractive to those people. You want the best of the best. I look at our DA's office, and I think me and you talked about this last time, only 15% of their funding's coming from the state. And then we're looking at this thing. This is I got a great question for you now. So we have our DA's, our public defenders, those people that work for Keith, and they're lawyers, good ones. And they say, I want to do this. I want to work for my – it's in my heart to serve and do this. Let's just say they get paid $100 an hour. They're getting paid $100 an hour to make sure that our streets are safe and the bad guys are put in jail. You go over here to the guys that's going to defend the bad guys that the state pay for. I told you once before it's $5. It would have been $500 versus $100. Now it's close to $900. Now you tell me how that's fair. Where do you draw the line?
And the question is – where does government draw the line? What is the because the individuals will say, I don't want to pay more taxes, Doug. And then, but I think you have to make that statement and say, well, the money, if you do want to have prosecutors that are, you know, keeping that job and having that institutional knowledge being there for a long time, not doing 2 years there and then going to the private firm, you do have to at least bridge that delta some. I don't know that you go to the same rate. I don't know what that number is.
It's a great question. So the person that they're, you know, want to make $700 an hour, I won't defend anybody for less than $700 an hour. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is. Let's be real, $300 an hour. And you got this number here, say, well, all the state's going to pay me is $100 an hour. That's where we got messed up. In my opinion, that's where we got messed up in this country. I remember when I was younger, it was an honor to be a police officer, firefighter, people that protected us and through the DA's office and everything. We don't do that anymore. We got to get that respect back to those professionals, pay them what they deserve, and protect our cities and our counties.
Coming right back, more with Doug Harwell right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
135 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Good time to check in with my buddy Blaine at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale. So it's not only just rained once, man. It rained twice. Guys like us, got to mow a lot of grass. it's that time of year, man.
Right.
And you were talking out there about zero turns. Talk about what y'all have in zero turns at Parrish Tractor.
Yeah, so right now is a great time to come check out our zero turns. We got all of them in stock right now, from 42-inch cut decks up to 72-inch in our bigger diesel mowers. All of our Kubota models in stock right now, as well as still offering that low-interest financing through Kubota. So come by and check them out. Like I said, we've got all the models in stock to choose from in gas and diesel.
Okay, what about in used inventory right now? You and I actually were texting back and forth about some of that yesterday. Talk about what you got.
We've got some side-by-sides. We've got a good number of used skid steers in stock right now. So if you're looking for enclosed cab or open cab, we've got both of those used in stock right now in our 75s, 97s, and our 65s. So come by, check them out. We've got a few used zero turns that were just traded in at the end of last week. So maybe you're not looking for something brand new. Well, we've got used options as well.
All right. Well, tell them how to find you.
Well, right here at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale on Highway 59. Come by and see us Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, or Saturdays, 8 till noon. You can visit us online at parrishtractor.com or give us a call at 251-947-4171.
Hey, thank you, Blaine.
Thanks, Sean.
All right, I'll be talking to you soon. There goes Blaine over at Parrish Tractor. Continue our conversation with Doug Harwell, running for Senate District 34. And we'll get some text line questions here. But I want one last one from me here. Maybe come back to my stuff. But you talk about transparency. You and I have talked about Montgomery a good bit. What reforms could you – like, do you have any idea what you could push in Montgomery to help transparency, to make it more – less cloudy up there on Goat Hill?
Well, again, I haven't had that opportunity to be there. Just kind of hear some what goes on. I think it's important for the people to know what we're going to be voting on. You know, it's what
and
I get
sometimes
a lot of times.
What we're told, what we're going to be, y'all are going up there to vote on if you were elected, then it comes back to us and like, that's not even quite a version of what we thought was happening.
I don't know the app, but you can see what's going on, Allison. How things are going on. But at the same token is that you know, as a senator or a House rep, you want to know what's on the calendar. You want to be prepared to vote. And you want to get through it. I think sometimes there's so many bills that you don't ever get to them. Especially the local bills. I think the Senate, the House just need to be very clear what we're voting on, what we're there to do and accomplish those things. I think if you can just get that, I think the people have more faith in the system at that particular point. I do. Now, how that works, I don't know. I was told by a longtime legislator, don't take any, you know, don't get rid of your clubs in your bag when you play golf because you're going to need all of them. So it's maybe some good advice to listen to.
All right, let's go to the text line at 251-343-0106. First question up from Old School said, what's Doug's stance on gambling, lottery, and sports betting?
Well, I've said this in just about every meeting I go to and talk to people. I believe in the people that I represent in District 34 in the state of Alabama that should have the opportunity to vote on those issues. But I think there are three complete different issues. I think there needs to be make sure that we have a good bill that addresses those things important to us, which is paying too much in taxes, cost of living, safety, which go back to the DA's office. We've got to talk a little bit about that. Roads and infrastructure, and it is, you know, none of those things are anything to offset the general fund. I think you got to keep it completely separate, but make sure that everybody understands. I do believe the people out there have the opportunity to vote yes or no. But there are three different issues.
Exactly, and it has been I almost say we have to do frequently asked questions about this because people say, I just want to vote on a lottery.
Yeah.
But in any form I've seen it come out of Montgomery or even discussed, you're not going to get a lottery by itself.
Yeah.
It's going to bring on, lottery – people are like, well, why can't we do it? And I can explain it. I've done it 10 times on the show, but it's the mechanisms there that just a clean lottery bill is not going to make it. There's not votes.
You know, but at the same token, you gotta, they are three completely different things. They bring three completely different issues, or whatever you think, whatever you want to call them, and they need to be addressed. Now, we all know, I mean, it's pretty open that the people of Alabama, 70%, whatever it is right now, would love to have the opportunity to vote. Now, that could be yes or no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think
I want to treat all three of those things. That's my goal. If I get to do that, treat them all three separately and all three voted on separately, if we can. I think that's the best opportunity. But again, I believe in the people of Alabama. I said it since I've started running that the people of Alabama should have the opportunity to vote on issues.
Okay, Michael up next here. Asking Doug Harwell why you were okay with the shutting down of Big Creek Lake.
I never remember saying that I was okay with the shutting down of Big Creek Lake, but I've always said I think people should have opportunity to fish in the lake. But I always say a priority is to have that reservoir should be protected to make sure we have clean, quality drinking water, that we have fire protection. Because you, Sean, in a business like I am, it's very important that we have that ISO rating as low as it can be. And Mobile Area Water and my fire department have done a great job. We got some of the lowest in the nation, which saves us money on insurance. And then also, what you got to protect the right on property. Your own property, protect that. So been saying that the whole time. I know the lake's open now. People are fishing in it. They have access to the lake. And so I'm glad that those two got together and had a settlement outside of court. And I'm glad people are out there fishing.
Yeah, probably conversation for another time, but to me the settlement still didn't – it moved that long, but it didn't answer the main – it kind of delayed it, right? Is the surface water – because it's leased from the surface to the bottom. It's leased to Mobile Area Water and Sewer Service. So it really didn't make a decision on is that public or not.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it didn't – it's moved along, but it didn't answer that key question the way I understand it.
Yeah. I haven't read the whole settlement, but I do know that the main thing is right at this point, people are out there fishing to have access to the lake. People can bank fish, rent boats, do whatever they need to do to go fishing. I know it's been pretty productive in what I hear, but I've always said I want people to have the opportunity to fish in the lake. I never said that. But I also say, because I had the opportunity to run a water system at Mobile County Water, know the importance of that, is to make, because you don't make decisions on based on the information you have, but you have to protect the water supply. Okay. And you have to protect it. You make sure business owners and houses, if we didn't have fire protection, the ISO ratings we got, not only through Mobile Area Water, but South Alabama Utility, Mobile County Water and Supply, they do a great job to help us.
But the relationship, we'll get two down one rabbit hole here, but the ISO rating and fire having to do with the cleanliness of the water supply.
Two different things.
So how does that?
No, I'm just saying you got to have water to put out a fire.
Yes.
And so that's just that's a completely different thing than the drinking water. Right. They're the same lines. I mean, they go down the same pipe. So your drinking water and your fire protection are in the same lines.
Okay.
So I think that's where the tie-in is you got to have quality drinking water to drink it.
Right.
But you also got to have plenty of water to go put a fire out.
Yes.
And that's what that water company is. That's what they're there for, to make sure you have drinking water and fire protection.
Right.
And they're both coming down the same.
And that's the question is, people wonder, was that really threatened? The idea of having the clean drinking water or having, water to be able to put on a fire? Yeah, I don't think people understand that. I mean, I don't think that was explained that if we get, I can go through it. Giant Salvinia is in there and it takes over the lake and then you don't have water to pump to be able to pump for fires. Is that kind of the idea?
It's same thing.
Okay.
Yeah, you got to have that water. Now, if you either get water from the water, the reservoir, or if you like South Alabama, to the Mobile County Air Water, Mobile County Water, you get out of wells.
Mm-hmm.
And, you have good aquifers, and sometimes like 800, 900 feet. So it's the cost of what it is to get out of the ground is to get that good quality water, have fire protection. And you got to have quantity of water. And so there's a lot of things that go into that. And you've sat on boards. I sit on boards. You make decisions based off the information they give you. And I think everybody's going to err on the safety of the water supply. I mean, I think you have to. But this community. Big Creek Lake is always, the reservoir has always been a part of where I grew up, mm-hmm. right down the road, and people fish in it, and I'm glad they're back out there fishing.
This from, let's see, Michael asked, I think this is, well, nope, Tim, sorry, Tim's up next, said to ask you how the legislation's, oh, I'm sorry, that's the second one here. Okay, ask Doug why he's allowing the smear ads to be broadcast against your opponent in this race, against Rusty Glover. It says, to ask you, Tim says, ask you why you're allowing the smear ads to be broadcast against Rusty Glover.
Yeah, so the only thing that I control is those ads, mail outs, anything that has elect Doug Harwell, doc, you know, elect the committee to elect Doug Harwell. If it doesn't have my name on it, I have no control over it. I have no communication. I haven't communicated, and I don't communicate with them. So, if it, I don't have any control over that.
Do they let you? Message. Do they let you know that hey,
no.
we're endorsing you or this group is?
No.
The let's see, at least this texter, unnamed texter. I hate the mudslinging and political ads. Let's see. Yeah, but there's several. I guess that one. There's a lot of people asking about those ads. Yeah. Those ads, have, at least according to people on this text line, have really turned them off.
Yeah. So, well, if you know, I've ran for school board twice. You interviewed me in Mobile mm-hmm. County. I ran for county commission. Never said anything negative about anybody, anything about it. I never have, and I didn't start this time. You know, that's somebody that I don't have anything to do with control doing that. And so if it has my name on it, again, if it has committee to let Doug Harwell, I can have control over that. If it doesn't have that, I don't.
Okay. Let's see. I'm trying to make sure I get all these. I think I got most, a lot of them are kind of the same question here. So, okay, let's talk about this as we wrap up. If you are elected, biggest part, we've talked about this kind of, but I mean, biggest priority day one, you show up, other than figuring out like where your office would be, where you sit and all that kind of stuff, what would it be? Day one, you walk into the austere body of the Alabama Senate. What's day one?
Yeah. You know, it's a learning curve. We know that. But outside of that, you know, as a business owner, if we got issues, we all sit down and talk. I want people to be able to sit down and talk with these different issues. Why is medical? Why are we paying so much for health insurance? Why are we doing this? Why? Tell me the answer to this. Why is our taxes so high? I don't know how they do that, but one of the things I want to do is bring the same kind of mentality, because I didn't understand what education was about, Sean. I didn't.
When you just got on the school board, yeah.
And then when the same educator to ask me questions about business, and I think it's going to be good for somebody that's new to come in there and say, hey, let me ask you this question. And I don't want to say this guy's name, but Johnny Hatcher is one of those guys. You know, everybody knows Johnny. Mm-hmm. Johnny would come in and ask questions that would make you think. And you say, okay, maybe there's a little bit about this. And I want to be able to go in there and sit down with groups of people and say, we can do this better. Let's talk about this. How can we do this better? How can we get funding for this? How can we do this? And I want to make sure that people in North Alabama understand what we have in South Alabama. You said it. A lot of people said it seems like all the leadership, everything is going from Montgomery North. I want to see what I can do to bring it down here south. I want to bring our team. I want to be part of a team, a delegation down here that's winners. And we got some really good people, and we just need to go sit down together. We got to go make Mobile and Baldwin County and South Alabama like the best place ever to live, and go do it. Bring businesses here to here. Get the ships in our port. Go compete with Houston and all these other ports over there that we have the best port. Let's get 158 completed. Let's get 45 completed. You know, you can go from 45 to from here to Chicago, mm-hmm. and the only two lane it is mm-hmm. is in Alabama. We got to get that fixed.
Thank you. Just once you hit it on the state line, watch how good it gets. I always say it sounds like the angels are singing when you get past Yellow Pine there and get up towards State Line, Mississippi, and all of a sudden it goes to four lane. And you mentioned school, and this is one of my questions from earlier. Somebody asked on the text line, I'll ask you, I have the same question. School choice in Alabama, that's back for discussion. Are you a yes or no on school choice?
Look, I think the parents have the opportunity. You should have that as a parent to choose your education course from your kids. I do believe that. Mobile County, we've had 12 high schools. They all had different paths to a career there, and you could have had the opportunity to choose there. And I think it's as a parent, you said you should have control of your child's education, where you want them to go to school. I think that is a choice, but I always say public education is a good education. But if you choose, you want to go to parochial, you want to go to charter, you want to go there, that's your choice. But I always, you know, because I was 12 years at Mobile County Public School, I think public school, Mobile County Public School is strong. I think some of the perceptions and stuff, but there's great opportunities in public education to get your child a career path. I'll promote that. But also, private schools is a great avenue. But I tell my kids the same thing. Whatever you feel like you need to do for your child is what you need to do. Because at the end of the day, you're responsible.
Okay. Wrap-up question. I was asking this one in the AL1 race because the undecided number is bigger than any of the named candidates. It's not the same in y'all's. But what would you tell undecided voters in 34? One thing you could tell them before they go vote on May 19th, which, by the way, Wes Allen says we are voting on May 19th. So District 34.
One state.
Yeah. Yeah, why should undecided voters, doesn't have to be once, but why should undecided voters right now vote for you in this?
Well, not a fact. This is a fact. We've seen business owners, business people, successful business people in office and what they brought, not only at the federal level, the state level, even the city level. I always look at our former mayor, Sandy Simpson, a business owner, what he brought. He brought that mentality to the city, and it's made a difference. He's laid a base work for us to be great here. And so I'm going to take my conservative Christian values, my work ethic, and my experience as a business owner to Montgomery to make it a better place for us.
Good stuff, Doug. If people want to get more information about your campaign online, or where do they go?
DougHartwell.com.
Absolutely. Stuff. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
All right. There he is, Doug Hartwell, Senate District 34, and we're coming right back for Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 156, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Tuesday. Maybe not a bit. Well, any day really is a good day when they're open to stop by and see my buddy Jeff at Stone Arms. And they're close to my house. I mean, that doesn't mean why you have to go there, but it's tempting for me. To always go in and see what's new at Stone Arms. They're about a quarter mile west of Snow on Airport Boulevard. Big selection of new firearms and used firearms. So that's what I was kind of saying. That's the tempting thing for me because there's always new stuff in there. And we talk about how easy it is to get your green light from the feds, to get your tax stamp, to be able to get suppressor. Huge selection of silencer, cans, suppressors, whatever you want to call them, in stock. At the same time, the shotguns and the rifles and the handguns, it's pretty awesome. And all the equipment to go on them, even if you're trying to change sights, I was looking for a rear portion of a peep sight, they got that. You need this that fits a modern sporting arm, they got that. You need something that goes on your deer rifle, they got that. You need the specific cleaning equipment for this, well, they got that. And if you got something that you've broken, they got a gunsmith that does great work. As I pointed out, the Alpha and Omega of this, that gunsmith has done fantastic work on modern sporting arms that I may or may not own, and also did a beautiful restoration on my grandfather's that was left to me, a 1936 32 caliber lever action with the full sliding block where it knocks the hammer back. It's an amazing thing. It was, well, it looked like what an old farmer's tractor gun would look like. It was beat up to heck and back. I said, hey, what can you do? I said, can you get this thing fixed? I'd like the rear stock that was busted into pieces match the forearm. He said, I can do that. I got it back. You can't tell it's even different. It's amazing. I mean, listen, so for buying the guns, to get the guns fixed, to getting your green light from the ATF, anything from firearms, ammunition, optics, all that, one place, Stone Arms. Online, stonearmsinc.com. But you can go see them in person. That's the most fun. Like I said, just about a quarter mile west of Snow on Airport Boulevard. And go find them on Facebook as well, Stone Arms, Inc. over on Facebook. That's INC, not INK. I wonder what Stone Arms INK would find. I don't know. Paul Feinbaum on the way next. We'll do it again tomorrow for another edition of Midday Mobile.